This man of God I hold in high esteem. I've heard him preach numerous times now, and all he does is stir you guys up to love and good works. He wants to plant that seed of faith in you where it will explode in your life, and you will understand the things that you can possess in God's kingdom. I thank you for you, brother. I honor you. You're free to do the will of God.
Say something like that. You leave me with a lot to accomplish. Sometimes I wonder if it'd be better if somebody said, now the last time he was here, it wasn't all that good, but we're going to give him another chance this time so he can make up for how he messed up last time. But that's not good. That's not true. Don't look at that. No, in Jesus' name. That's not true. You know, the Lord has put something on my heart, but there's just, I always like to be upfront and honest with the people that I'm ministering to. There's a very unusual presence in the church service today. And I feel it still, and I felt it yesterday evening, starting at about 7 p.m., I started praying. I had been praying about the service already. But at about 7 p.m. last night, it began to really occur to me that the Lord was moving me in a certain direction. I didn't even know what I was going to preach on. I said, Lord, you better tell me what to do because I don't have anything here. And the Lord just impressed upon me what I need you to do is what I need for the whole church to do. And that as I need them to listen to me. I need people to listen. The Lord began to impress upon me at that point, and don't take this off my time. I'm not going to preach a long time, I promise. But the Lord impressed upon me that as a church, and by as a church, I don't mean this church. I mean as a church body around the world, we've moved away from listening to him. And we need to start listening to him again. So let me just precedent what I'm going to say today with that. And also, you know that I'm getting ready to unleash upon the world, praise God, a YouTube channel. It's entitled The Holy Ghost Channel. And so you will be on it because I've preached here and some of the message I've preached here will be on that. And so there's a camera back there running. So if you see, your face won't be on there, just your head, the back of it. So if you're bald headed, you will be able to find yourself. And if you're not, you will. Praise God, brother. We're going to pray for hair. What I want you to do is a couple of things before we get started. First of all, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And you can open it up and have it there. And then I'm going to have you have your hands free and stand up. Have your hands free and stand up. Pastor Mike told me, I'm in charge. Hallelujah. I get to do what I want to do. Praise the name of Jesus. So, like I said, I'm getting ready to, in the next year, I hope to get this YouTube channel underway. I got quite a bit on it already. I'm uploading more and more every day. I hope to start with 50 sermons on it. All Holy Ghost related sermons. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So I hope people will be blessed by it. But you know, people, they like to feel like they're apart. I learned that from my pastor who's in heaven now. They like to feel like they're apart. That's why I said I'd like for you to have your hands free. Because we're going to start in just a moment by welcoming them with a hand clap. And then I'll have you reach down and get your Bible. And we'll hold up our Bible and make our confession. All right? All right. All right, let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, clap happy. Glory be to God. And we welcome those of you who are viewing by way of DVD and by internet. That hand clap's not only for Jesus, but it is for you. Hallelujah. We pray you be blessed by this today. Amen? All right, you may reach down and get your Bible. And hold up your Bible and make the devil mad and Jesus glad. This makes him very nervous if you got a Bible. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. For those of you who are watching by internet or by DVD, the church here has already opened up their Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 13. And I'm going to read to you beginning in 1 Samuel 13 from verse 13. So 1 Samuel 13:13 reads, "And Samuel said unto Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established your kingdom upon Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded you." Let me give you a little background to this. You know, the nation of Israel, God had called out, they were his chosen people, and he had determined that this would be, the house of Israel would be the people from which the Messiah would eventually emerge. And he wanted them without a king over them. But they began to look around to their left and to their right, and they began to cry out to God, "Give us a king. All the other nations have the king. Look at the Amalekites. They have a king. Look at this group. They have a king. Give us a king. Give us a king." And God didn't want them to have a king. But since they pestered God about this day and night, God eventually spoke to the prophet of Israel, which was Samuel, and he said, "They are pestering me so much that they have moved out of my perfect will into my permissive will. And I'm going to allow them to have a king appointed over them. So I want you to go out and I want you to anoint Saul as the king over Israel. But know that the people are now in my permissive will. They're not in my perfect will." And do you know, church, we can get out of the perfect will of God. And many of us do. And probably all of us have at some point. And operate just fine in this world that's set up for us, that's technologically based, where everything is taken care of. And we can operate in the permissive will of God. And we can go on like that if we're not careful, year after year, decade after decade, out of God's perfect will. Can I get an amen? And so this is what happened. Now Saul got anointed king of Israel, and for a couple of years he did pretty well. And then you see here, he starts doing things, and ultimately Samuel comes back to him, and Samuel says, "Because you have disobeyed God, because you've moved out of God's will for your life as king of Israel, now God is going to make an utter end of your kingdom." That's not good news. Now I got good news for you today. I'm going to talk to you this morning on this subject. Have you had your spiritual checkup? Have you had your spiritual checkup? And I'm going to say this to Brother Keith. Have you had your spiritual checkup? You know, now we have insurance policies. We're under such government regulations and what have you. You get dropped from some insurance carriers if you don't go in at least once a year and have an annual checkup. And I think it would do us well as Christians to regularly pull back and look at our lives and examine our lives and give ourselves a spiritual checkup. If Saul had pulled back and looked at what he was doing, he could have averted and thwarted this decision of God that his kingdom in Israel, that his kingship in Israel was coming to an end. But he never pulled back to look at himself. He just kept pressing on and pressing on and pressing on right through God's will. So I'm not going to give you a lot of things here. I don't have time to turn page by page, chapter by chapter, and show you all the things that Saul has done. I've just got it boiled down into a few points here. And I want you to see, because I think these few points will relate to you and your lives and where you are living your daily lives today while we're doing this taping in 2016. I think it'll be relevant to you. So the first thing I want you to do is stay in 1 Samuel 13, and I want you to look in verse 6. Samuel has told Saul that he is not to go into warfare or to do anything in the name of the Lord until Samuel returns from where he's gone off. Samuel's gone off. But he needs for Saul to wait until he gets back in order for him, Samuel, to make the offering unto God so that Samuel will have God's anointing upon him when he chooses to go out and begin the exploits for the Lord. And in verse 6 of chapter 13, It says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in the caves and in the thickets and in the rocks and in the high places and in the pits. Have you ever been there? In the pits? Around the rocks and the caves and in the dark places? It said, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the hand of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he went yet into Gilgal, and all of the people followed him trembling. And he waited 7 days, because Samuel said, I'll be back in 7 days to make the burnt offering. He waited 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, remember, he's supposed to wait for Samuel. Saul said, bring me a burnt offering and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. He's disobeyed God. God said, wait on Samuel to offer that burnt offering. You're not supposed to do it. You don't have the anointing of a priest upon you to offer this burnt offering. I am not going to honor that offering if you do it. Wait for Samuel to get back. The first point I want to make to you, church, is as Christians in the 21st century living in 2016, please, the Holy Ghost is pulling this out of me strong. Learn to wait on the Holy Ghost. Learn to wait on the Holy Ghost. Stop pushing through with your own agendas. Wait on the Holy Ghost. You see, you got to understand, here Saul, the Holy Spirit eventually rests upon the king and the priest, but not on the king with a priestly type of anointing. But you're different. You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. But we can still get into the same mistake that Saul made. Because, see, listen what Jesus did. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did Jesus allow himself to be crucified? Why did Jesus go into hell and suffer for 3 days and then be resurrected? Why did Jesus ascend back to heaven and put his blood in the high court of heaven? It was so that God could see that Jesus had paid the price for you and for me to be the righteousness of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Why did we need to be righteous? Because God was going to send the Holy Ghost into the earth. And when that Holy Ghost got into the earth, he was going not just to be floating in the earth like a cloud, like we sometimes think, but he was going to go to the inside of the believer. That's you. And you carry, if you've been born again, you carry the Holy Ghost with you. If you've been born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues, like the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2, then you carry the Holy Ghost with you to a greater anointing on the inside of you. But you still, because you have a mind that is carnal, and the carnal mind is an enemy of God. The Bible says it's enmity toward God. It can't be reconciled. You can renew it and renew it and renew it, and we should. But it's constantly going to come against you, and you can press through and not do what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. You have to wait on the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about, I've been in churches where they just press through with their own agendas. I said before, and it's kind of funny now, but when you're actually a member of that church, and nobody here is, thank God, it's not funny at all. I've been in some churches where if the Holy Ghost greased himself down with Crisco, I've said he couldn't squeeze in through the back door. I mean, they got something planned from the beginning to the end. If the pastor preaches 12:01, they're not going to beat the Methodists to Lubies, and so they're mad if he preaches and the Holy Ghost starts moving. You people on TV, don't turn me off. Only people that get mad are those who are guilty. You know, Ephesians 4:30 says that we can grieve the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says that we can quench the Holy Ghost. Do you know how we grieve the Holy Ghost? When we quench him. That's one way we grieve him, is when we quench him. When the Spirit begins to move in a certain way, and instead of moving in that direction, we back up and say, no, I won't move in that direction. The Spirit begins to move upon us to do a certain thing, to say a certain thing, to go to a certain person, to make that phone call, to do whatever it is that God has told us to do. And we say, well, I don't know. I'm just not real sure about that. I'm not going to. See, that grieves the Holy Ghost because it quenches him. Listen, church, the Holy Ghost came into the world not to sit on a committee. The Holy Ghost came into this earth and came onto the inside of the believers, not so that he could put in the back room somewhere and try to run things from back there. And let me say this, the Holy Ghost is on the inside of us, not so that he can be subject to our wills, but he came to the inside of us so that he could take charge of the church. Let's let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. There's a preacher, I have a great deal of respect for this minister, so I'm not trying to speak evil of him when I tell you this, but it happened. I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. And sometimes, this is just a good example of what I'm saying. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our own platforms and our programs that we miss the Holy Ghost. And he was preaching, and I'm telling you, in that service, the Holy Ghost began to stir. And I felt it. I was sitting in my seat there at that church. It was just here a while back, a few months ago. I felt the Holy Ghost moving. I mean, I felt it in my flesh moving. And I thought, I couldn't hardly talk. And the Holy Ghost began to move on that church while he was preaching. Well, there was a man in there. There was probably about 1,000 people there. There was a man in there who was not saved, probably more than one. But he got under such conviction of his sin while he sat in that church. While the preacher was standing at the pulpit and preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on that congregation. And that man got under such conviction of his sin, he couldn't wait any longer. He got out of his seat and walked down to the front of the church right in the middle of the service to give his heart to Jesus. When he did, the preacher said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm preaching right now. It's not time for you to get saved. This isn't the time in our service for an altar call." And again, I have great respect for this preacher. He's a mighty man of God and generally flows in the Holy Ghost. And I've noticed, because I've been back to his church several times since then, that that doesn't happen anymore. That the Holy Ghost moves, and if he's preaching, he stops what he's doing. So I think God spoke to him after that. But listen to what I'm saying. If somebody who is anointed, who is a preacher, who's been a pastor for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, someone who's so in touch with the Holy Ghost can miss the Holy Ghost like that, how much more for someone like me? Someone like me who's only been in this for 39 years now. I have to be careful, and you have to be careful. We need to give ourselves a spiritual checkup to see if we're listening to the Holy Ghost. I miss the days, Brother James, and James was with me when I talk about this. I miss the days when we used to not be able to sleep on Saturday. We used not to be able to sleep on Saturday night because we were so excited about church the next day. We would start praying at 9 o'clock at night, the night before, and we'd pray right into Sunday morning. And then I would get in my car and drive 175 miles one way to my church and be there that day for 3 services. And then drive back that night 175 miles back to San Marcos. And I couldn't sleep all night Saturday because I was so excited about what the Holy Ghost was going to do in that church service. You couldn't have pried me out of that church. If you lubed up a tire wrench and came after me, you couldn't have gotten me out of there. I was going. My parents told me, they said, "If you keep going, we're not going to give you gas." I said, "Fine, don't give me gas. God will give me gas. God calls the church to give me enough gas money to pay for church for the next 5 years." I drove down there and didn't have to pay for gas, praise God. I mean, I miss the days when the Holy Ghost moved like that in churches. Listen, folks, you got to yield yourself. When you feel the Holy Ghost moving, are you listening to me today? When you feel the Holy Ghost moving you in a certain direction, you got to press into that and yield to it. I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost moves on you to lift your hands, it ought not to be a big thing for you to lift your hands up to God. I'm talking about little things. When the Holy Ghost moves on you to jump up out of your seat, you ought not to be so calcified with religion that you can't jump up and do a little Holy Ghost dance. You said, well, what if they're visitors here? Well, look at it again. Hallelujah. You know, I had no intention of staying the law. I trust I'll get to my sermon. But I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says that we will mount up with wings like eagles. You know, the eagle's a very interesting creature, different from other birds. Have you ever watched one or been to a habitat where they're caring for bruised or wounded eagles? But one of the things that happens to the eagle is about midway through the eagle's life, his beak, because of his age, becomes calcified. And around the eagle's beak, all this calcification occurs and causes that eagle's beak to be sealed shut. And he no longer can eat. He can't hunt. He goes out, he hunts, he gets those great talons to grasp his prey, but he can't eat it. Why? Because his beak has become calcified. Some of us have become, our beaks have become so calcified with religion that the Holy Ghost can't get to us anymore. You know what the eagle does? It's very interesting. The eagle flies off by itself when this happens. And he gets in front of a larger, he has a choice. The eagle can die right then because he can eat no more. Or he can make a decision to get rid of that calcification. And there's something in the eagle's nature that causes him to want to live. And so he flies up in front of a big rock and he begins to beat his face against that rock. And he beats his face until it's all bloodied and bruised, but until he's broken off all of that calcification. And once he's broken off all of that calcification from around his mouth, then he flies out, he gets his prey, and he begins to eat again, and he lives a long and healthy life. But he has to go through that process. Listen to me, church. Some of us, it's time. After all these years, we've been saved 10 years. We've been saved 20 years. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost 30 years. It's time for us to sit down in front of the rock of the Spirit, that's name is Jesus, and take our religious calcified beaks and begin to beat our beaks against that rock and to break off that calcification so that the Holy Ghost can have his way in his church. I just made up my mind. I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. You need to make up your mind. You're going to follow the Holy Ghost. I mean, when the Holy Ghost moves, you're going to lean into it. When the Holy Ghost moves, I'm going to lean into it. When he tells me to prophesy, I'm going to prophesy. When he tells me to preach, I'm going to preach. When he tells me to stay on one point, I'm going to stay on one point. When he tells me to run, I'm going to run. When he tells me to leap, I'm going to leap in Jesus' name. Make up your mind today that you're going to wait on the Holy Ghost. Saul didn't wait on the Holy Ghost. He didn't wait. You don't have to wait in that sense because you carry him with you. But you need to listen to him when he speaks to you. Can I get an amen? I didn't plan to spend that much time there, but I'm glad again. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to give you the next thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I'll start reading in verse 1. In verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord said, the Lord sent me." You know, it's sad when you get 50. Thank you, Jesus. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel." By the way, it's better to be 50 than the alternative. "Over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go," these are the instructions to Saul, "now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy everything that they have and spare nothing. Slay the men and the women, slay the infants and the sucklings, slay the animals, slay everything. Go do this." And in verse 7, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until the comest to Shur," that's over against Egypt, "and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." But, everybody shout "but." Shout it louder. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and that which was good. They didn't utterly destroy. And then here comes Samuel. Your sins will always find you out. Samuel shows up in verse 11 and he says to Saul, "This is what the Lord says, Samuel. It repents me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and he has not performed my commandments." I'll just stop with that. Now, let me read one more. "And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up at his place and has gone about and passed on and has gone down to Gilgal." Listen, here's the next thing, church. If we're going to give ourselves regular checkups, we need not only check up to make sure that we're following the Holy Ghost, we need to check up to make sure that we're following instructions. Following instructions. Can you shout instructions? You know, the Bible, shout it one more time. The Bible has lots and lots of instructions in it for us to follow. But I have to say this about myself. Sometimes we forget to follow the very basics of instructions. And then we're wondering why God's not doing great and mighty things beyond what we have been seeing. It's because we're not doing the most basic of things. This is what the Lord has shared with me recently. Here, I'll just take one scripture and give you the sevenfold. Here is the sevenfold purpose of every Christian. Are you ready for it? There are seven things. Jesus said, go. Are you going? Go. Are you going? That means to go out. You're supposed to do something. You're not supposed to sit in the church pew. My pastor used to say all the time, we're not trying to fill up this church. We're trying to empty this church. Because this isn't the church. This is a building where the church has gathered to worship God. You need to go. Where are you supposed to go? Into all the world. Now, you're not going to make it into every nation and every province of every nation. What Jesus meant by that was to go into all of your world. All of your world, your school, your cafeteria, your bus, your factory, your company, your friends. Go into all of your world. And what are you supposed to do when you get there? And preach. That's number three, preach. You are called to preach. It's not me up here who's just called to preach. You're called to preach. You are to preach to your world. What are you supposed to preach to them? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And gospel means good news. Good news. The good news isn't that God sent sickness and disease. Don't go out and tell them that. The good news is that Jesus said it was Satan that came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The good news is not that you have to be depressed and despondent about the things that are going on in this world, because Jesus said, although you are in the world, you are not of this world, and my anointing's going to abide on you. You people watching by television, the good news isn't that you're going to hell. The good news is that Jesus came and he died so that you don't have to go to hell. Go out and preach the good news. Check yourself. See, I told you I had power. Hallelujah. See, you're supposed to check yourself. Check yourself to make sure that you're leaning into the Holy Ghost. Check yourself to make sure that you're following instructions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, here's number four, the fourth commission, to every creature. If Jesus said to preach to every creature, then every creature is reachable. I don't care if they practice Islam or Christianity. I don't care if they're seeker sensitive or Pentecostal. I don't care if they're Lutheran or Catholic. I don't care if they're atheist or agnostic. He said, preach the good news to every creature. If he said to preach to all of them, they're all reachable. Go preach good news, every creature. Did you get that? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's five. Here's the sixth thing. He that believeth and is baptized. When was the last time you baptized someone? Now, I'm not trying to get you under conviction. Maybe that's you don't do that. I take them out into the middle of the San Marcos River. It's cold. That's good because, see, they remember it then. I dip them down. I say, Lord, keep them warm. Is it because I'm touching this?
Okay, I'm good. Just stay there. I don't care. I usually preach with a handheld mic anyway. Go out and preach the good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Here's number 7. And these signs. If you do those 6 things, you're going to have signs. Jesus said it. I believe it. That's the end of it. If you do those 6 things, then these signs will follow you if you are a believer. And the first sign that he said would follow every believer is that in my name you will cast out demons. Didn't say you'd ask them out. Didn't say you'd pray them out. He said that you would literally take his name and drive them out. When was the last time you cast out a demon? Do I sound hard this morning? This is what the Lord put in my spirit. I didn't know it was going to come out hard. I don't intend it to come out hard. It's coming out for Keith. It's for me. Not just for you. It's for me. He said, in my name you'll cast out demons. You know, I think about this. I hadn't thought about this in a very long time. But many years ago, I hadn't had too many encounters with demons at that time. Maybe 1 or 2. But certainly not in this capacity where everybody was going to be looking. But I was standing at church. I think I might have shared this here once. I was standing at church. There were probably 7,000 or 8,000 people there that morning. And there was a man standing in front of me who was dancing and praising God. And meanwhile, a letter came in that said, I have had a headache for 40 years. Would you please pray for me that I can get rid of this headache? And my pastor's wife read the letter. She said, I tell you what, if you're out here in the audience and you've been having problems with headache, stand up and the people around you will pray for you. I think this was 1989. And this man that had been dancing and praising God and had his hands up stood up right in front of me. I thought, good Lord, if he doesn't have the victory, who does? And when he stood up, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said to me these words. He said, Keith, this man is possessed by a demon. Cast out the demon, the headache will leave, and he will get saved. And I said, say what? 8,000 people there. I'm not casting out a demon. My pastor's there. He was world renowned. I let him handle that baby. But the Lord spoke that to me. And he's standing there. My pastor's up on the stage. I'm probably back out in the parking lot from there, from where he was. And I said, good Lord, I'm going to cast a demon out of church. I really did. I had this conflict within myself. But I knew the Holy Ghost had spoken to me. So I looked up on my stage. My pastor, I remember, was standing over on this side of the platform. And he saw me standing out there. And I looked at him, and we made eye contact. And when I looked at him, John Osteen looked at me, and he went, just like that. We had a very close connection. And he looked at me, and he went, just like that. And when he went, I reached up, and I said, in the name of Jesus, come out! And when I shouted, come out, that man fell on the floor like a dead man. When he got up, he didn't have a headache. And he began to rejoice and praise God that he didn't have a headache anymore. And then my pastor preached the sermon. And then lo and behold, this man who was there in the church, who had been praising God, dancing and lifting his hands, stood up for the altar call, went forward and gave his heart to Jesus. And then, if I remember correctly, they came by and they laid hands on him. And when they laid hands on him, he got filled with the Holy Ghost and started talking in tongues. Now, what if I would have said, I'm not following instructions. I'm not doing that. I'm not in charge. I'm not doing that. Now, I did get the look of my pastor's approval. God, I felt like that's what I needed. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When was the last time? Now don't get mad at me. When was the last time you purposefully did not join hands with someone who was sick? That's a new seeker-sensitive thing. But you took your... See, Jesus didn't tell you to lay your tongue on people. He didn't tell you to stick your feet in their face. He said, purposefully take your little old hands and lay them on people. These signs shall follow them that believe. Then my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I want to challenge you people. I want to challenge myself. Let's obey the Bible purposefully when people are sick. Purposefully take your hands and lay your hands on people. You know, I have taken in everything from every preacher I've ever sat under. And when I was under Pastor Osteen's ministry, I had the opportunity to sit regularly under Oral Roberts' teaching because he was at our church quite often. And one of the things I picked up from his teaching was never lay your hands and touch someone until you're ready to release the anointing into their bodies. And I've kept that all these years. I probably learned that around 1990. And all these years, that has stayed with me. But what has really stayed with me is that I have to make a purposeful decision to lay my hands upon someone. Again, just follow instructions. Are you following me today? So we need to make sure, number one, that we're leaning in and listening to the Holy Ghost. Number two, we need to make sure that we're following instructions. And here's the third thing. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 15 again, and this time I'm going to start reading right where I left off in verse 13. In verse 13 it says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him." Now remember what Saul has done. He's offered the burnt offering. He wasn't supposed to do that. He was supposed to go in and kill all these people. He didn't kill them. He spared the king, and he spared the best of the oxen and the sheep. And I like what Samuel says. He says, if you follow the direction of the Lord, what is this, all this here? Oh, I'm hearing sheep, and I'm hearing oxen, and I smell something in the air. Are you sure you obeyed the Lord, Saul? Now, Saul could have repented and said, I have not obeyed the Lord. I ask for the Lord's forgiveness. Look what Saul says. Saul says in verse 13, Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, it's real easy to blame other people, isn't it? Not my fault, it's the preacher's fault. He preached till 1205. They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We spared them to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. When we give ourselves a spiritual checkup, church, let's make sure that we don't allow religious ideology to substitute for reality. It sounds real good to say, I have spared them to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. But that's not what God said. God was looking for obedience, not for sacrifice. And a lot of times what we do is when we haven't waited on the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost doesn't move. And then when we haven't obeyed what God has already told us, so we don't have any signs, what we go to then is religion. And we begin to practice our religious practices because we have to take up time. But if we are waiting and leaning into the Holy Ghost, and if we're doing those things that God told us to do to bring signs, wonders, and miracles, then we don't have to rely upon religion in order to fill up the time space. Is that good? I'm telling you, that's good, isn't it? A few weeks ago, I was called down to preach in a little town down on the coast, you know. And I didn't know what to expect when I got there. But I went down there, and I got there, and guess how many people were there to hear me preach? Six. I drove 4 hours to get there. Six people were there. Now, in the natural, I'm going to tell you what I thought. I thought, what a waste of my time. I know you're thinking I'd be ashamed to tell that, but I'm just human. I thought, what a waste of my time. I don't care about the offering. That wasn't even an issue. I didn't even care if they gave me an offering. I said, but I drove 4 hours for six people to hear me preach. What a shame that I wasted my whole day, and now I got to turn around and drive 4 hours back to San Marcos after I get through preaching, and I was tired. I know it sounds really awful, but that's me. And I mean, they sang their songs, and I was like, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus walked. Now, that's how I felt about it. I really did. I didn't feel much anointing at all. So they called on me to preach, and I got up, and so I did what I was supposed to do. I delivered the word of God just like I would deliver it to 6,000. There were only six. And I got done, and nothing had happened, and I wasn't surprised. Have you been there? And the only thing I really wanted to do was get out of there so I could get on the road and get back to San Marcos and be home with Gracie. Gracie's my dog. For all you women who are wondering if I have a girl living with me, she's my dog. And the Lord quickened. There's somebody here, you're having problems in your lower back. It's your lower back. I think it's a man. Who are you? You've been having problems just in your lower back. I know you're here. I feel it in my spirit. Okay, go ahead and stand up, sir. Can you stand up? Those of you around him, lay hands on him. I want to pronounce over you. You say, what is it that caused this? It's your faith. Your faith drew that out of me. I want to pronounce over you, you're not going to be healed. You are healed in the name of Jesus. I come against that back pain. In the name of Jesus, I say, come out in Jesus' name. I pronounce healing upon you. I come against pain and I drive it out with the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I say from this moment on, you're going to begin to notice improvement. Your back is going to stop hurting and you're going to lift both hands and say, look what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. Give Jesus a hand clap. Hallelujah. Brother, you got back pain. You got back pain. In the name of Jesus, I come against back pain. In the name of Jesus, I curse back pain. In the name of Jesus, I cause back pain to come out of you. In Jesus' name, I speak healing from that pain. In Jesus' name, pain, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray you heal him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And he's going to say, as he leaves here today recovering, look what the Lord has done. Give Jesus a hand clap. You got back pain? Say, look what the Lord has done. I come against back pain in you, my sister. In the name of Jesus, I curse back pain. Whatever's causing that pain. Is there something wrong with the disc in your back, sister? It's a disc. Oh, see, the Lord just spoke that to me. There's a disc that's out of place, or is it ruptured? Something wrong with it? It slipped or something? I don't know what it is. I come against that in the name of Jesus. I say spine aligned perfectly in the name of Jesus. I come against slipped disc, ruptured disc, whatever it may be that's causing that back pain. In Jesus' name, back pain, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. She's going to lift both hands and she's going to say as she leaves here today, as that pain subsides, look what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Now, what caused that spur of the Holy Ghost to come on? I was talking about the Holy Ghost. And I was telling you what happened. You know, I was there, only six people. And after nothing happened, I just wanted to go home. And the Holy Ghost kind of nudged my spirit a little bit. And he said, hey, what about me? And I stopped. And as soon as I stopped, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, and I was looking directly at the men. Only six people in there. When you start calling out things, there are only six people there. You better be hearing from God. I looked at the men. I was too timid to say you. I said, the Lord tells me that there is a person here who has trouble with your knees. I had no idea who this man was or any idea that he had any problems with his knees. He had been in that whole service praising God. He came forward so fast he almost knocked me down when he got up there. He said, my knees are completely swollen. He said, they're just big bubbles. He said they look like cantaloupes. They're so big. And I leaned down right in the middle of that. I don't want to say dead, but if it was up to me, it would have been dead. I listened to the Holy Ghost. I put my hands on him, and as I did, all that swelling just went down. Oh, praise God. Now, it's not anything that I did. Please don't think it's me. I just obeyed the Holy Ghost. But, you know, and I have other points, but the Holy Ghost is telling me to quit. What I learned from that, I left that church. He came to me after that church service was over. And he walked up to me. He was from the Caribbean islands. He had a very strong accent. And this is what he said to me in his Caribbean accent. He said, you're a very, very unusual man of God. You're a very, very unusual man of God. And he kept saying that over and over. And he said, no more preachers like you. No more preachers like you. Oh, that grieved me so when he said that. I don't believe that's true. But they are becoming far and few between, it seems. And he said, no more preachers like you, very rare man of God. No more preachers like you. I got in my car. I was so distraught that I was in tears. I think I called you, didn't I? I called James at that point. I was just in tears almost. I said, James, this man said this to me. I'm so grieved in the spirit that he said, I'm an unusual man of God. I don't want to be an unusual. I want to be the norm. I want to be the, this needs to be church-wide. It doesn't need to be Needham. It needs to be everybody. And he said, no more man like you. No more men of God like you. And I said, sir, I don't think that's true. He goes, no, I know. I've been everywhere. No more man of God like you. That made me so sad. I got in my car. I went and started driving back to San Marcos. And all the way, I just prayed and I grieved and I groaned. And I prayed and I grieved and I groaned. And I said, oh, God, don't let it be so. And if it is so, wake up your church. Wake up the church, Lord God. I said, what will it take for them to wake up? He said, they're going to have to get thirsty. They're going to have to get thirsty. He said, they're satisfying their thirst elsewhere. They're satisfying their thirst with their cell phones. He said, they're satisfying their thirst with videos. They're satisfying their thirst with YouTube. He said, they're satisfying their thirst with politics. They're satisfying their thirst with religion. They're satisfying their thirst in every area of the world. He said, this is the devil's big moment here. He's made entertainment the most important thing in the whole world. And if you don't believe me, look how much entertainers get paid. A school teacher starting salary is about $40,000 a year, whereas if you play for the NFL, you may be making $5 million a year. I mean, it's entertainment that's important. He said, they're satisfying their thirst in every other area. Folks, I want to tell you something. You may think the times I've been here, I'm a little bit fanatical. But I've been in this now. I've been saved for 39 years in just a few months. In a few weeks, it'll be 40 years I've been saved. And I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for 38 years. And after 38 years, and I'm soon to be 50 years old, I got to tell you, at this point in my life, there is very little left that excites me anymore. And some of you people who have gotten to middle age know what I'm talking about. Very little excites me anymore. I mean, the football game just doesn't do it for me anymore. YouTube just doesn't do it for me. The TV just doesn't do it for me. The only thing that really brings me fulfillment and excitement is a dogmatic, unequivocal, swiping smack down in your face Holy Ghost church service where people are healed and delivered and set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I will say this, if we start demonstrating this, I'm not talking about just out in the world, but if we start demonstrating this in our own families, church, you won't be able to keep your children out of the church house. They will be plaguing you. Mama, when are we leaving for church? Daddy, are we going to church tonight? I know Pastor Mike has said this to you. You know, this started about 15 years ago. They canceled church services almost nationwide on Sunday evenings because people wouldn't come anymore. Couldn't get the people at the church on Sunday night anymore. And I'm not saying anything bad. Well, yeah, I guess I am saying about it. It says something about society. It's because people are just tired of the routine. Hallelujah. And God wants us not to be people of routine and habit, but to be people who are filled with his power, who are obeying his commandments, who do what he tells us to do, and don't try to substitute religion for reality, but who actually have the reality of the Holy Ghost at operation in our lives. Can I get, I didn't intend to do this, can I get the musicians to come up, please? The Lord just spoke to me and he said, do you have the guts to obey your own preaching? I said, hey, Lord, I did call people out when you gave me the word, didn't I? Hey. Could you stand up on your feet? It's early. It's 20 to 12. So if you can stay, don't slip out. You know, they always tell me, they don't tell me this, but they always say, don't do anything like this before we take an offering for you because everybody will leave and you won't get an offering. I don't care. I want to obey the Holy Ghost. I don't come here for an offering. Go ahead, James. We're going to sing something. I don't know. All of a sudden, this came up out of my spirit. Every word of worship. Let me tell you, people. You go ahead and start playing, but I'm going to keep talking. Let me tell you, people who are watching by TV something. You say, what's the difference between your God? Our God is God. Allah is not God, and I don't mean that offensively. Our God is God. Muhammad's not the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except through Jesus. And some of you who are watching by TV, you've been feeling in your heart, as one of you even said to me the other day, somebody even said to me, a person who practiced the Hindu religion said to me the other day, just don't tell my parents, but I pray to Jesus. I said, I'm not going to tell him, but he's praying to Jesus. And you know why? He said, it's sort of like Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. He said, this isn't about me. This is about the Holy Ghost. He said, nobody could have this kind of life unless it were the real God working through him. Well, that makes me feel good, but it's not me. There are many of you in here. Maybe most of you in here have that working in your life. But you people, I want to encourage you. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You can have everything that I'm talking about if you'll surrender your heart to him. And then after you give your heart to him, be baptized in immersion, in water, to show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and you'll begin to speak in another language. Then find you a good Bible-believing church, and I'm telling you, if you will do that, you will go from victory to victory, and you'll say, what I saw that day on TV, what I saw by that DVD, what I watched on the internet that day changed my life forever. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. You know, everything that we have belongs to him. So I want you to sing this. We're going to sing it, all right? Think about who you're singing to. Oh, come on, sing it with your whole heart. Come on, praise him. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah! To our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise. Oh, come on, praise him. rejoice. 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 Hallelujah. Keep going. Rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, come on. You're bringing down the anointing. Hallelujah. Every praise, every praise, every praise, every praise. Hallelujah! 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 Rejoice! 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 Oh, go ahead and take your liberty. Take your liberty. Rejoice! Oh, you're bringing down the anointing. Listen, before you go on, listen. What happens when the Holy Ghost starts moving like this, church? What happens is it's up to you. This is where you become important. You have to reach up and take a hold of what's going on. This is where you can't be a spectator. You have to be a participator. You say, I need Brother Keith to lay hands on me. No, you don't. You need the Holy Ghost to touch you. You say, I need Brother Teeth to touch me. No, you don't. You need the Holy Ghost to infuse your being. Oh, praise Him again. And this time, think about who you're talking to. Think about who you're singing to. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the Almighty God. He is the Ancient of Days. Come on, James, let's sing it again. Every praise, let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Come on, church, sing it and rejoice. Go ahead and rejoice. Rejoice. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing a new song to the Lord. The Holy Ghost is moving in this house. Sing a new song to the Lord. You know this, and the Holy Ghost is bringing this out of me so strong right now. Sing this with us. Are we in C? Okay. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Lift your voices, church. Let God know to follow Jesus. Oh, that's beautiful. Add some parts and make it ring out. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turn. Sing, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with. This is our pledge, Lord. Still I will follow, though none go with me, still I will follow. Hallelujah, though none go with me, though none go with me, still I. Sing, no turning back. Tell him one more time that you won't turn back. Now I want you to sing this last verse. The cross before me, the world behind me. Hallelujah. Before me, the world. Oh, our eyes are set upon Jesus. The cross before me, the world, it's behind me. The cross before me, and the world's behind me. I won't turn back, Lord God, even if I'm the only one. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Sing, no turning back, no turning back, no turning, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Listen to me, church, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Hey, do you mean it today? Tell him one more time, no turning back. Sing, no turning back. You're not going to turn back. No turning back. No turning back. And now we're just going to sing in the Spirit a little bit. Just sing in the Holy Ghost. Kora mandala bashandi oroboso todoboso. Ora ndala badi oroboko satarabasa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, church, the Lord speaks four words to me, and it's not about me, it's about you. And those four words are, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you. What the Lord is doing is he's reaching down right now, and he's patting you on the back, and he's saying, I'm pleased with you. He's saying, you're the apple of my eye. I wouldn't spare anything for you. I would even rid heaven of the best thing that it has, my son, for you. And today, you've entered into his presence. You've acknowledged him as Lord. You've received his word. And you've praised him unconditionally in spirit and in truth. And he's saying, I'm pleased with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's pleased with me. Turn to your other neighbor and say, God's pleased with me. On the way to church here today, it takes me about an hour, you know, and I was praying, and I felt an unusual anointing on me, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do in that service, and I don't like that, because I don't like uncertainty. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, Lord, what if you slay me in the spirit and nobody can preach? He said, James can take over. I said, slay me, Lord. Slay me. I'll do anything. I'll run, I'll jump, I'll scream, I'll fall out, I'll leap over a mountain. I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's lift up a shout real big. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. I do want to take time to pray for you. I know many of you came and you want to be prayed for individually. If you have not had your need met already, I'll be happy to pray for you. I'm going to give the service back as I was instructed to do by your wonderful pastor, Pastor Johnson, to Brother Jack, and he's going to take up an offering. That's how I was told to do it. I'm just being obedient. But I'm going to stay in the spirit, and I'm going to pray for you in just a minute.